穷国家疫苗难求，豁免新冠疫苗专利保护，能不能加快全球疫苗供应？另外，维护创新技术人士反对豁免新冠疫苗专利，把敏感的生物科技交给中国和俄罗斯，是不是一场危险的游戏？大家好，欢迎收看美国之音的时事大家谈，我是叶凡。为了帮助贫困的国家尽快得到急需的新冠疫苗，美国转变态度，表示支持暂时豁免新冠疫苗知识产权的提议。这项提议是南非和印度在去年十月向世贸组织提出的，在印度疫情凶猛反扑的背景下，正在得到越来越多的支持。那豁免疫苗知识产权能不能加快全球疫苗供应？要如何确保疫苗的质量？又要如何防止假疫苗趁虚而入？今天我们邀请约翰霍普金斯大学医学院传染病学教授、约翰霍普金斯全球临床健康教育中心主任罗伯特·鲍林杰博士来分享他的看法。Dr. Ballinger, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
So first, could you explain to us what a temporary waiver of international property rights mean? As many of us understand, once the industrial designs, confidential information, and trade secrets are shared, they become public property permanently. Is that right?
Well, what my understanding of the temporary waiver is the waiver to prosecute the sharing of information that's proprietary with other companies and other countries. And so the idea is that, at least the intention is to make sure that we accelerate the ability of countries that don't have vaccine capacity to make a lot more COVID vaccines.
When we say temporary waiving the IP protection, and then when the information and trade secrets is shared, how temporary is it? Those countries got the information, they'll have it forever.
No, my understanding is that's the temporary waiver is waiver for enforcement, the legal enforcements and the fines that go with the TRIP agreement. So you're right that temporarily there might be the for temporary temporarily there's going to be less enforcement of the TRIPS agreement. It doesn't mean they couldn't come back and enforce it later. And there could be fines, there could be other penalties that companies that break that agreement could continue to face. So even if they are able to temporarily produce the vaccine using IP technology, once those waivers lifted, then they would still be subject to enforcement procedures that most countries have agreed to.
So how important is the IP waiver on COVID vaccines to ending the global pandemics?
Well, I think it's an attempt to help improve and increase the supply, but I'm not sure that a temporary waiver is going to have an immediate impact. I think the bigger challenges right now are in producing vaccines that we currently have available and having access to the raw materials and other things that are necessary. So I wouldn't expect this waiver to have an immediate impact. It might have more of a long-term impact on the availability of vaccines. And we're in a crisis right now, so I'm not entirely clear this will have a major impact on what we're facing right now in many parts of the world.
Well, opponents, especially from the pharmaceutical industry, say just the what you just mentioned, the key access issues for developing countries are not patents, but an inadequate supply of the ingredients needed and know-how to produce the vaccines and to keep high quality of the vaccines, which even one of Johnson's and Johnson's contract manufacturers in the United States failed to do. So how can developing countries produce quality vaccines on time if the IP protection is waived?
Well, I think it depends on what you mean by on time. As I said, the waiving of the agreement enforcement is only something that's going to have an impact downstream. But if there's an immediate need right now for billions of vaccines, it's going to take, many months just to ramp up the production. You've got to build new facilities. There's a lot involved in producing high-quality vaccines beyond just the waiver. But I do think that we have to do everything we can. Certainly in the United States, we have it. It's in our own best interest to increase the access to vaccines globally, because the whole country depends on the world's economy as well. And if we don't control this epidemic in the rest of the world, it's going to be difficult to control it here over the long term.
But some critics say that waiving the vaccine IP protection would foster the proliferation of counterfeit vaccines. So what safeguards should we take? How concerned are you?
Well, listen, we have a problem with counterfeit drugs and vaccines right now, even with the waiver in place, you know, with the restrictions in place. So I'm not sure that the waiver is going to have an impact on that. Because people that want to produce, companies that want to produce, counterfeit vaccines are going to do that regardless of the waiver, I would think. So we have other safeguards in place to monitor that. And I think each country and each region and groups like the WHO need to, you know, put procedures in place to monitor the quality, not only of these vaccines, but drugs as well.
So while the U.S. Support of the IP waiver of COVID vaccines is a great act of humanity, some say, just like you mentioned, it takes a long time to get the required global consensus. And it also won't see the immediate effect on the global supply of the vaccines. But on the other hand, the vaccine companies have made some efforts to provide vaccine doses to poor countries at prices much below they would charge wealthy nations. For instance, Johnson & Johnson agreed early May to provide up to 220 million doses of its vaccine to the African Union's 55 member states. It also agreed to provide up to 500 million vaccine through 2022 for low-income countries via the vaccine allies. Do you think these efforts are more pragmatic?
Well, it's certainly a good start, but listen, we need billions of vaccines, not millions of vaccines, not even tens of millions. We need billions of vaccines to provide access to the populations that need it. So we have to come up with some strategies that beyond just simply donating 50 million vaccines here or even 500 million doses in order to really control this epidemic. We have to increase access in general to vaccines, increase the ability of countries to produce vaccines for themselves locally instead of depending entirely on foreign donations.
You said waiving the IP protection is also in the interest of the U.S. That's correct. But some people are concerned that waiving the IP protection on COVID vaccine would hand the sensitive technology to China and Russia. What safeguards should U.S. take to prevent the erosion of the advantages of the U.S. pharmaceutical industry?
Well, let me clarify. I don't think I said that waiving the vaccine, waiving this agreement is in the best interest of the United States. What I said is increasing access to these vaccines in whatever way we can is in the best interest of the United States. And this waiver is perhaps one of multiple tools that could help potentially increase the access over time, but certainly not the only thing we need to do. And as I said before, we need to monitor the quality of these vaccines, no matter who makes them, whether they're made by pharmaceutical companies in the U.S. or Europe, or whether they're made by generic manufacturers in other countries. It's important to monitor the quality regardless of who's manufacturing these vaccines.
So does the developed world have the manpower to monitor the quality of the vaccines produced in poor countries?
I think many places have both the manpower and the woman power to monitor vaccines. What they're missing is primarily the manufacturing capability, the ability to actually produce millions and millions of vaccines and billions of vaccines that they need for their own countries and their own regions. There are very, very few companies that can manufacture vaccines. And for example, I believe there's only two companies in India that are manufacturing vaccines for export outside of India. There's companies in Brazil and perhaps elsewhere, but most countries don't have manufacturing capacity for vaccines. And that's what we're trying to address, and that's what we need to address in whatever way we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to my previous questions, are you concerned that
the U.S. would hand the sensitive biotechnology to Russia and China, and the U.S. would lose its advantage?
Well, I guess I don't know what's meant by sensitive information. I think if we're willing to share information about how to create a life-saving vaccine for the world, I'm not sure how sensitive that is. It seems to me that that's something we should be interested in trying to do. We also have to protect our interest as well, of course. But the biggest interest we have to deal with right now is a life and death interest, and the fact that the entire world is being, facing an unprecedented pandemic. And if it's in all of our best interest to collaborate, to coordinate, to share best practices and information to get this under control as fast as we can.
Will lifting IP protection hurt the incentives to develop treatments and vaccines for future pandemics?
Well, first of all, I believe this is a temporary waiver, not a permanent waiver. So I'm not sure what impact that will have on incentives if it's temporary. I think we certainly need incentives to produce more vaccines. I mean, there, as I said, there are not many companies that produce vaccines for the world right now, and there are disincentives. And we, you know, even the current vaccines required a huge investment from governments around the world to get the companies that are making the vaccines currently up to speed and able to produce the vaccines we currently have. So we certainly need more incentives. And, you know, the other thing we have to keep in mind is that many of these vaccines that are now shown to be effective were developed with public funds, investing billions of dollars in the research and development that now companies are able to leverage to produce these vaccines. So we have to find ways to increase access to those that need it and make it affordable. Otherwise, we're not going to have the impact that we need in preventing and slowing down this epidemic. So it's going to require a variety of strategies, not just the waiver, the temporary waiver of the TRIPS agreement enforcement.
So what else do we need if the temporary waiver of IP protection is not enough?
Well, I think, you know, companies that are producing the vaccines could strike deals with generic manufacturing companies that there are. They could do more of that, for example, and share that, share the proprietary information and manufacturing practices and expand the capacity of other countries to produce their own vaccines. We can be investing more in systems to distribute these vaccines once they're manufactured more effectively to the populations that need them the most.
Thank you, Dr. Ballinger. Do you have anything to add?
No, thank you.
Well, thank you so much again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
非常感谢约翰霍普金斯大学医学院传染病学教授罗伯特鲍林杰博士分享他的观点。来宾发表的都是个人意见，并不一定代表美国之音。接下来，反对豁免疫苗专利保护的人士强烈批评说，这种做法会把敏感的技术交给中国和俄罗斯，损害美国和西方的利益。请不要走开，我们马上回来。美国支持临时豁免疫苗专利保护的做法引起英国和欧盟的反对，也受到维护技术创新人士的强烈批评。他们说，豁免疫苗专利不仅不能解决问题，还会把敏感的生物科技交给中国和俄罗斯，打击西方科技优势。那豁免疫苗专利是不是终结新冠的万能药？如何平衡国家利益和全球抗疫的需求？豁免疫苗专利又会给今后的科技创新带来什么样的打击？接下来我们邀请信息技术和创新基金会高级政策分析员贾西·麦克多尔来谈谈他的观点。Ms. McDowell, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Supporters say a temporary waiver of the COVID vaccine's IP rights would speed up the production and distribution of the vaccines in poorer countries.Would handing needy countries a vaccine recipe book meet their needs?
No, knowing the recipe won't actually solve the real problem. The problem is there's a lack of infrastructure and there are shortages and bottlenecks within the supply chain. We simply don't have enough raw materials and well-equipped facilities. These are complex creations, especially the mRNA vaccines. So, for example,The Pfizer vaccine requires 280 materials produced in 19 different countries. Only a year ago, no one had ever produced many of these materials on a commercial or industrial scale. Transferring know-how would require existing skilled workers being pulled from production to train other workers. On top of that, it will take at least 6 months before any new manufacturers could even begin production. And this doesn't help India, Brazil, Nepal, or Singapore, who are hurting right now. The most beneficial tactics for developing countries are for governments to reduce regulatory delays, reduce import and export restrictions, identify potential partners with which manufacturers can engage in licensing agreements, and to shore up their distribution infrastructure. Because supplies don't matter if they don't get to the people who need them.
Some people say waiving the IP protection would disrupt the global vaccine production and distribution. Could you explain?
Well, as I just mentioned, there are only so many raw materials out there right now. And so having other organizations pulling from these raw materials takes away from the organizations that are already in production. So when there's more people going into the pot, there are less being distributed between each of the organizations that are actually attempting to make this better.
There are concerns that waiving the vaccine IP protection would foster the proliferation of counterfeit vaccines, but supporters say it is an existing problem. There are safeguards already existing. So how do you refute that?
Well, counterfeits are definitely an existing problem. However, waiving IP will only exacerbate the issue. Oftentimes, counterfeits are discovered and prevented from reaching the market by tracking the supply chain through licensing agreements, trademarks, trade secrets, and other forms of IP. Waiving IP will make it more difficult to adequately track the supply chain. Also, people are less likely to get vaccinated or to take certain therapeutics if they don't trust them. Counterfeits and subpar products increase mistrust, and that will make people less likely to seek legitimate help. This is counterproductive to the global fight against COVID-19.
Some people also caution an IP waiver would hand the sensitive biotech pharmaceutical technology to China and Russia. So is there anything that the U.S. can do to make sure that an IP waiver of the COVID vaccine will not erode the advantage of the U.S. pharmaceutical industry?
Well, the biggest issue in this case is the distribution of trade secrets, which includes know-how. By definition, trade secrets must remain secret to maintain protection. If the IP waiver goes through and trade secrets are included, it's like opening the floodgates. There's no way for the pharmaceutical industry to recover those investments. And once the information is released, it will be easier for counterfeiters to undermine continued treatments and vaccinations after the pandemic has abated. But the waiver doesn't stop at vaccines and therapeutics. Essentially, the TRIPS waiver means a loss for anyone who has invested time and money into researching and developing ways to combat COVID-19.
How important is IP protection to innovation? Will lifting IP protection hurt incentives to develop vaccines and treatments in future pandemics?
Well, think of it this way. If the local baker spends thousands of dollars investing in equipment and perfecting their recipes, they will only have their entire product co-opted to feed the hungry. They'll have less resources to invest in future products. It's a simple fact of business. The same is true for R&D intensive industries. That's not to say we won't have any vaccines or treatments for future pandemics, just that companies will be less inclined to step up and be the first to invest their resources if they know it's likely to be taken from them. It also means that startups won't be able to raise the capital necessary to bring some of these products to market, since approximately 80% of most business assets are attributable to intangible assets, especially IP. IP is incredibly important to innovation.
But in this case, some people say that the IP waiver this time is temporary, so it won't have this long-lasting impact. What do you say about that?
As I mentioned before about the trade secrets, once they're out, they're out. It does have a lasting impact. Once the information is out there, it's hard to put the lid back on the bottle.
There are some confusion. What is a temporary IP rights waiver versus just a waiver?
Well, in this case, the temporary waiver would mean for as long as the COVID pandemic is still deemed a pandemic by the WHO. Once it is under control, then the waiver would be lifted. However, the problem is, as we've said a few times already, once the information's out there, it's out there. And so you can say that you're going to go back and that the intellectual property that these companies have developed can go back to them, but it's there. That's so it's calling it temporary versus, you know, an indefinite waiver is ignoring the fact of reality in the terms of once information gets out, it's out. It's more focused on patents. And so once the patents are waived temporarily, then the rights can be reverted back to the original rights holders, which that makes sense. However, when you include everything else, once the trade secrets and things are out there, you can't get it back.
But also supporters of the waivers say in this time, in this pandemic, the U.S. federal government have provided financial support to those pharmaceutical companies developing the vaccines. So therefore, they should share the trade secrets and the recipes.
That is a misconception in some respects. The U.S. government helped certain companies with their clinical trials, but the vaccines, the actual research that went into the vaccines was not funded by the U.S. government. For example, Pfizer didn't take any money up front. Their entire support from the U.S. government came from the U.S. government basically saying, we will pay you for this number of vaccines once you deliver. They didn't take anything for the actual research. Moderna, the finances that came from the U.S. government were used for clinical trials. The vaccine itself had already been developed.
Despite all the concerns, supporters of the IP waiver on COVID vaccines say this is an act of humanity. Saving lives and ending the pandemic is the top priority right now. So it is in the U.S. and everyone else's best interest. What's your response to that?
Saving lives and ending the global pandemic is definitely the top priority right now, and it should be everyone's top priority. Unfortunately, waiving IP will only make achieving this goal more difficult. Raw materials are hard enough to come by as it is. Also, if manufacturers don't have the right equipment or workers who are trained or skilled enough, they could produce poor quality vaccines and therapeutics, which will actually cause even more problems in the long run. Waiving IP protection could also introduce greater counterfeit problems. But the point is, there's absolutely no need for an IP waiver. There are over 200 voluntary licensing agreements currently in place and enabling the dramatic scaling up of manufacturing for vaccines and therapeutics in developing countries. These licensing agreements are only made possible through IP.
So what are the alternatives to help these poor countries?
Well, there's an incredible initiative called COVAX, which is led by CEPI, Gavi, UNICEF, and the WHO. COVAX is working to accelerate the development, manufacture, and dissemination of vaccines to developing and underserved regions. Several countries and manufacturers have already contributed to the COVAX initiative. Other initiatives and agreements have also been undertaken by various manufacturers in recent months. But as I'd said before, these countries will benefit most from governments reducing regulatory delays, reducing import and export restrictions, identifying potential partners with which manufacturers can engage in licensing agreements, and shoring up their distribution infrastructure. There's also quite a bit that Western governments can do to facilitate helping build out the public infrastructure in developing countries. So once we have the vaccine, we can actually get them to the people who need them. And that's going to be a huge challenge in a lot of places, but we can invest in helping these countries shore up their distribution infrastructure.
As we know, some vaccine companies have already promised to donate or support these poor countries. For instance, Johnson & Johnson have agreed early May to provide up to 220 million doses of its vaccine to African nations, 55 member states. So you think that's more pragmatic to solve the problem?
I believe so. The problem that we're facing right now is that there is just a shortage. And so having these organizations agree to provide their vaccines and therapeutics as soon as they're available is one of the few solutions we have at the moment, because you can't offer something that does not exist.
Thank you so much, Ms. McDowell. Do you have anything to add?
Honestly, about the only thing I can say is we need to support our innovators. And one of the ways we do that is through IP. So thank you so very much for having me today.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.
非常感谢信息技术和创新基金会高级政策分析员贾西·麦克多尔来分享他的看法。来宾发表的都是个人意见，并不一定代表美国之音。感谢您收看《时事大家谈》，我是叶凡，下次节目再会。